start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
I think it's safe to say that when Kyle Larson wins a race, he doesn't exactly back into the wins. He has no doubters. And now while he turns his attention to Indianapolis, we turn our attention to a throwback race at North Wilkesboro for the All-Star event. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN, and John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Kelly and JR here. And man, I tell you, that guy Larson, it's like I said in the open, the guy, it's no doubters. I mean, you look at Bristol, you look at Homestead, you look at what he did at Kansas. They are no doubters when he does it, Kelly.
Yeah. The great thing or the intriguing thing about watching Larson and the five team, because it takes a team effort, right? Is they are just so buttoned up from top to bottom. And even when they fall back or the pitch strategy doesn't go their way or he loses track position, they just continue to find a way to not beat themselves. And I think Sunday, that's really what it was about, because he had his challengers, but in the end, they had a car good enough and a driver good enough that you just stay in the game. And if you have speed, you can put yourself back at the front of the field. So it's so impressive, as you said, of how they win these races, because it takes a little bit of everybody. And then when you give them, when you put it all in perspective and give them their due, it's absolutely incredible what they're doing.
It's easy to forget, JR, that a year ago he won like the closest race in NASCAR history to Kansas.
Yeah.
Because this year, when he's winning, he's dominating.
Yeah, and you know, Brett, that also goes back to what a lot of people were saying afterwards. You know, when you say, you hear a lot of times the NASCAR fan is very demanding, so they'll say, oh, that race was boring. But, you know, you have to take each race for what it is and not say it's the car, not say it's the racetrack. Look at the two different ways in which Kyle Larson won those races, two completely different races. And I think as race fans, we have to embrace both different ways. It is very cool to have a last lap pass like that and to have a finish of 1/1000th of a second. And it's also pretty cool sometimes to see somebody go out there and kick everybody's butt. This is a great driver and a great team, but even when you put those two things together, it doesn't guarantee you a win.
The thing is, when you look at Kyle Larson, I mean, what we've seen over the years, Kelly, is it's a lot of times it's feast or famine. And I think we're seeing less famine. You know, when he has a bad day, he's not trying to get too much out of the car to the point that he ends up with a DNF.
Yeah, I think it's definitely less than we have seen in the past. I agree with you there. But there's race car drivers are human. So every so often, something pops up where he steps on his foot, right? Hits the wall too hard or hits the sand barrels at the entrance of pit road, just trying to get that extra little bit coming on to pit road. But it does seem less. And I think that goes back to what I was saying a minute ago, is now when you have the whole package, when you have a fast race car, you know you have the team on pit road who's going to get it done. And you know you have a crew chief that's going to keep you in the game. You don't have to overcompensate and feel like you have to do it all behind the wheel. And I wonder if with Larson, that's part of what the story is here, is that he knows if he just focuses on what his job is and not trying to do everybody else's job or make up or do more, like you said, than maybe what the car is doing. Because we have seen, certainly since he got in this five car, that just go out and drive the car. You have the car. You have the people. Just go out and do your job. And at the end of the day, you're either going to walk away with a win or you're going to walk away with the finish that you deserve, as long as you don't step on your foot. So I agree with you. I think it is fascinating how his career has developed, and certainly since he got in this five car, I think it's less of feast or famine, and it's more of just now seeing all the results that we all knew was possible from Kyle Larson when he came in the series back in what was it, 13 or 14?
Yeah, it's not unusual, John, to see the number of wins and the number of DNFs in Kyle Larson's stats to be the same. But this year, there's only one DNF on that board, whereas you got three wins and nine top 10s and 12 starts. And I think that's where the change is.
Competition beware when you have somebody that is doing what they're doing right now, and they've eliminated the mistakes. We hear that so much, so often from the race teams. If we just can eliminate the mistakes, and that's why so often in NASCAR competition, that fastest car, that car that leads the most laps, that driver that is dominating the whole time, one little thing will take somebody out of these things. Recently, one of the most dominant performances we've seen in a long time with William Byron. Remember that performance, and they didn't go on to win the race. It takes so much to put these things together. And yeah, I think you can put a lot on the shoulders of Kyle Larson, of him maturing, of his maturing. But also at the same time, you got to put everything together to win one of these things. They're so difficult to win. And I think that gets lost sometimes on fans. You just don't put a championship race car driver in a great car and everything doesn't just automatically, it's not a given that you're going to win the race.
He got 817 laps led. He's won 8 stages so far this year. And he's got 128 stage points. And Kelly, at Kansas, he maxed out. You know, he won the pole. There's no points for that. But he won each stage and he got the fastest lap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first in this iteration of what we have to the rules now, the first max point 61-point day. And you kind of figured it was coming sooner rather than later that somebody was going to be able to do that. Not surprised at all that it was Larson and the 5 team. But that is almost pitching a perfect game. I mean, he didn't lead all the laps, right? Because, again, he had some challenges. We had some green flag cycles. But that's as close as you can get to, again, just perfect day, perfect driver, perfect team, everything. Yeah, I think he maybe... I don't even know if he got in the wall in typical Larson fashion. I know the tires were wearing at one point, but I don't know if he or the team put a foot wrong at all on Sunday. So for me, what stands out the most is something that JR was just saying about, you know, it's not always as easy as it looks, right? Like the fans say, oh, he's just out there on cruise control or it's dominating. That's not entertaining. In today's NASCAR Cup Series, with how hard it is to win these races, especially with this race car that we continue to hear of how sensitive it is, not only to if you hit the wall with the toe links, but in dirty air, which dirty air has always been around, as you know, Brett, but how sensitive this car is, the fact that he fell back and lost his track position a few times, but as I said earlier, they just keep themselves in the game. And when it's so hard to win these races, especially track position races, that to me is what stood out from Sunday. Because yes, it looked like he was going to go out and dominate based on practice and based on qualifying, and you look at all the speeds. But if one thing sets you too far back in the field and you lose your track position, it can be game over. So I was really impressed with the 5 car that, you know, even when Chase Elliott was up there and Brad Keselowski at one point was up there and, you know, Christopher Bell's trying to run him down and or they came off pit road maybe second or third. It just the fact that they stayed in the game and they found their way back to the front. And at the end of the day, they were the ones in victory lane. That is as impressive as the numbers that we're talking about of what he did.
Well, and now he's got to turn his attention, as he always does. He never sits still. I don't think there's such a thing, JR. You know, now all of a sudden, he's going to be the guy in the spotlight for the next couple of weeks. Not necessarily in NASCAR, but he's the guy going back to Indy again. You know, he's already had himself a little bump up at Indy in practice, you know, hit the wall one time, but... Once again, he's going to be in the spotlight for the next 2 weeks, running in Indy, trying to do the double this year. Hopefully, he gets the opportunity. And I think that's one of those things that, and JR, I'm sure I know you agree with me, this is good for everybody in motorsports.
No doubt, Brett. I think it's a win-win. It's such a win-win situation, and that's why over the years, the Indy 500, the Indy officials had talked about moving the race a little later in the day. Well, that would have nixed anybody having the opportunity to do the double, so they didn't do it. They obviously have respect for it, and I think both series should have respect for it. And that's when, you know, last year when people were saying, oh, my gosh, you know, Kyle, you know, snubbed his nose at NASCAR. We all heard all the criticisms for it. But when a driver has the ability to do that and has the opportunity to do that. I think as race fans, we need to embrace it. And again, it's such a win-win situation. You don't need a lot more eyes on either of these two events. They're so special and they're so big. But when you find a way to make them bigger, like to have a driver like Kyle Larson be involved in both and trying to do the double and the logistics that go along with it, and he certainly is capable of it. Tony Stewart was too. And I think, yeah, it becomes a time where you really have to embrace this week and take, and really appreciate the talent that Kyle Larson has for doing it. And I hope this is one of those situations. Yeah, last year, the weather, what are you going to do about it? You know, it happened and it cast a bad shadow over the whole thing. But I think if the weather cooperates with us this time around and he runs really well, which I would expect him to do in both of these races, I think, again, it'll be a very special day for all. It's always a huge day. What a great day in racing. We all start early in the morning and watch race cars go around racetracks all day long. But what a special day. And Kyle Larson, I think, is making it a lot better.
Well, I'm waiting to do the Monaco Charlotte double.
I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know. Somebody's got to have a fast plane. Somebody's got to have a fast enough plane to get me back.
Well, and also, Brett, I think what you should do is pull up amongst the yachts with a little fishing boat. be the guy from NASCAR with the pontoon and show up at the yachts and then do the double and then go back.
I need one of those. What are they called? The boats that they have down in Florida on the swamp. With the big fan in the back.
Yeah,
with the airboat with a big fan in the back.
I'm all for it. Make NASCAR's presence known in Monaco. I'm in.
How do you think that? What kind of looks you think that would get a Monaco? All right. When we come back, I find it interesting that we've heard a lot of fans this week complaining about the Kansas race, and now they want NASCAR to do something about it. What? We'll talk about that.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner, the official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN, I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. JR, you talked about it earlier that, you know what, sometimes you just have a blowout. And, there have been blowouts in Super Bowls, and we had one this past year. Yeah, blowouts in baseball games, and you don't have people screaming and yelling about, hey, we got to change the way the NFL plays the Super Bowl because it was a blowout. So why in the world are NASCAR fans screaming about, we got to change the way they run this race at Kansas because we used to have great races there, and then Kyle Larson blew everybody away?
Well, I have two words for you. I think it's two words. Coke 600. Not too long ago, people were hooting and hollering about the Coke 600's too long. You got to change it. It's boring. It's this, that, and the other thing. And then the Coke 600, for a couple years in a row, was one of the better races of the year. Folks, I understand. Look, it's NASCAR. That they're NASCAR is a victim of their own success. They've set a very high bar in excitement, and therefore NASCAR fans are extremely demanding, which is good, which is a badge of honor for the sanctioning body. But I love when Elton Sawyer said not too long ago, he said that, you know, people said, well, what are we going to do about the Super Speedway package? And he quoted the finish, the number of passes, the all these things that what do you want us to do about it? It doesn't make any sense to fix something that isn't broken. But when you go to a racetrack, one year, you may have someone get hooked up and run off with it. It's just like the pitcher pitching a blowout, right? So a shutout, or somebody in football winning 42-0. It happens every once in a while, but I don't think it commands that a sanctioning body do something about it. Now, if you have a situation where year after year after year, over and over and over, or one package or something on a specific type of racetrack doesn't provide anything, yeah, maybe look at it then. But when you go from one year, I mean, this is a what have you done for me lately sport, I know. But when you go from the closest finish in electronic scoring history, and then the next year one guy blows you away and you're saying, you know, boy, we got to do something, that tells you how high of a bar you've set.
Well, Kelly, the thing is, Kyle Larson was just doing his job. And the other 35 cars in the field would like to have been able to do the same thing. That's what their job is.
Right. You know, it's funny you bring that up because I clipped a piece of Denny Hamlin's podcast and I posted it on X last night because he was touching a little bit on that point, which is, A, give Kyle Larson and the five team their due for their performances, which we did in our previous segment. But at the same time, it's not, as Denny said, and I completely agree with him, it's not Kyle Larson's fault that other drivers and teams can't execute, because Chase Elliott was in a position to have a top five run, if not contend for the win, until the pit crew let him down on pit road. Brad Keselowski, not his fault. I'm assuming it's air pressure, so maybe a little bit goes on the race teams, right? Unless Goodyear comes out and says they ran something over, but blows a tire running second. You can keep going down the list, but to Denny's point, he's absolutely correct. It's not Kyle's fault that he stinks up the show, whereas meanwhile, the rest of the field can't do anything with him because they're just not good enough, or they're not executing, or they can't go toe-to-toe with him for some reason. So in this case, I agree with a lot of what Johnny said. I would also say that fans now have very high expectations for this race car a mile and a half tracks, because it has been at mile and a half where this car has performed the best the last couple years. So we expect to go to those races and for it to be competitive, entertaining races. And maybe, yes, we get a finish like we saw at Kansas, or maybe we just get any competitive run to the finish. So expectations are high. But I also think that it's easy to just criticize this race car because, as we talked about earlier, dirty air is such a topic of conversation. You have drivers on the radio complaining about how the cars suck. So again, between high expectations and just what this car has done, I mean, NASCAR's backed into a corner where fans and viewers, everybody just wants it to be a flat out bang bang, three wide, side by side, 67 passes a lap, entertaining race. So unfortunately, you're not going to have that. And sometimes you're going to have races where one driver just goes out and whips the field. And we had, again, I think we had a little bit of that, a little bit of both on Sunday.
Kelly brings up a great point, JR. When you think about, when she talks about what the drivers are saying on the radio, how much did the drivers hurt the overall perception when they're on there complaining about, oh, you can't pass, car sucks? And yet the thing is, you look at what happened. Yeah, maybe at the front of the pack, you didn't get a lot of passing, but there clearly was passing back in the pack, you know, in the pack up into maybe second place. So how much are the drivers hurting the sport by complaining like they do?
Well, it doesn't help to have your favorite driver come out, especially for the NASCAR fan, how loyal they are to those drivers. And if that driver comes out and says, oh, this is probably, then right away, the fan of that driver is going to say, well, he's right. You know, NASCAR's wrong. But in the situation, I think, where we've seen over the past couple of years, where, twice last year, I believe, that Martin Truex Jr. started in the back of the pack and was contending for a win. And if you can't pass then, well, how did he do it? You know, how do these guys do it? How do these guys start in the back with these unapproved adjustments and come through the field? And yeah, they might not win the race, but they contend for the win. Clearly you can pass. And also, you know, you don't want to, you know, the old saying about, you know, if you own a restaurant, you don't want to stand on the street corner and say the food is terrible. You're not going to help bring fans into it. But I don't know if they were correct. I would say I'd have no problem with it. But if you're not necessarily correct and you're just doing a little bit of moaning and complaining at times, I don't think it helps. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think the argument is there that some of these things are happening. And I think you got to look at the race fans got to look at the race and make their own assumption there, make their own conclusion.
I just find, Kelly, you know, we talked about other sports and there are blowouts in other sports. I don't know that I hear other athletes coming off the field of play or their court of play or whatever their ice, whatever they're playing on, complaining about. They may complain about the way a game is officiated, but beyond that, I don't hear them complain in general terms like the drivers tend to complain. And maybe it's because, yeah, it is apples and oranges because they're, you know, yeah, there's a machine involved.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, that's really where my mind goes with that. I don't know if it is apples and oranges, I guess you can't be apples to apples because there's more variables involved in racing, right? With football, I mean, the fields are all the same size. I mean, they may complain about, you know, the upkeep on the field, right? Natural grass versus turf and
how much air is in the ball?
Right. The football is supposed to be the same for everybody. You know, basketball is the same thing, right? It's a it's a controlled indoor environment. You know, the ball is you know, regulation ball everybody has to deal with. So there's more that's really the only thing I can think of is just because there's more variables involved in racing and it takes not just the athlete talent, in this case the driver, but it takes that machine, right? And you're trying to make that machine do what you need it to do. So yeah, you're going to get driver feedback in that regard. You're going to hear the raw, and especially in the heat of the moment when we have scanners and we have all these things at our fingertips, you're going to get that raw in the moment feedback.
And so we like that.
I love it. Yeah.
And we all want it.
Yeah. And again, I don't think in most cases, I don't think the drivers are wrong. To your point though. Yeah. It's very interesting of in this sport, 9 out of 10 topics are always the product. We're talking about the product. Or, you know, or the driver's complaining about the product and a lot of fan feedback about the product, which I don't think you also see in other sports as well. So it's NASCAR in that regard, auto racing is very, very unique when it comes to that.
Yep. When we come back, some guys need to figure out how to make Lady Luck happy because she's been really mad at them. We'll talk about those guys when we come back.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. We welcome you back to the O'Reilly Auto Park, to the Pit Reporters.
Ah!
Darn. Years and years.
Look at that. Trying to get a sponsor plug in.
I know. Oh, well. So Kelly loyal. Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN's here, and also John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio is here. All right, talking about people that have had bad luck this year. I mean, Kelly, I think we saw it not so much for Ryan Blaney, but he's had a share of bad luck this year, but he's had a couple of good runs back-to-back where Lady Luck has maybe not smiled on him, but maybe she's turned her back on him. Mm. Well, not Lady Luck, but bad luck, because maybe that black cloud is starting to lift a little bit. But how about Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski? I mean, look at these guys. Both of them had good runs going at Texas. Both of them had good runs, really good run for Keselowski going at Kansas. And then all of a sudden, and now you got Keselowski sitting there 33rd in points. Kyle Busch is back there 18th in points. Mm-hmm. I mean, what can these guys do to turn around luck? Who's having the worst luck of the group?
The worst luck? Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think I'm not concerned about Ryan Blaney, because Ryan Blaney has shown speed. They've shown performance. They just don't have the finishes. It's a little different for me with the 6 and the 8, because there's weekends where they run well, or they look like they are running well, and something happens, like you blow a tire or you spin out at Texas, right, from the top 5. But then there's other weekends where you don't even realize they're in the race. And again, that's for the 6 and the 8. So in this case, though, you have to be the most concerned about the 6, because you're just looking at where he is in points. There's not a whole lot more further he can fall.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting closer to literally the cement in the basement, and from laying on that. So it's absolutely incredible what has happened to that race team, just because, again, there's times where they don't look like they have anything going, and then there's weekends where you listen to Brad and he's like, we have speed, I'm happy with how the car feels and how the car drives and what the cars are doing, but they still just have nothing to show for it. So Brad is going to test the theory of, it does not matter how you start the season, it matters how you end the season. And in this format, Brad knows, because he has said it, as long as you win a race and get in the playoffs, nobody's going to, well, I shouldn't say that because fans didn't like when Joey Logano was, you know, wherever he was last year.
Yeah.
It would be fascinating if Brad was to, again, live out that theory as he knows, which is we just got to win a race and get in the playoffs and anything can happen. It'd be interesting to see the reaction if that does take place with Brad, because, again, he knows it's a long season. He's already preached that, you know, it's not about how you start. This format rewards where you finish. But they are really testing that because they just... Again, there's nowhere the next place he can go is just to literally be laying on the pavement in the basement.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's an interesting stat, JR. Keselowski has 26 points this year, 26 of stage points. The 8 car of Kyle Busch has 17. But Kyle Busch also has 4 top 10 finishes. Keselowski has none. So who's having worse luck?
You know, the funny thing is over the years, we've heard the debate, and a lot of racers will tell you that, hey, you know, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Yeah, I buy that in sport because you have to be prepared. You're only as good as your plan B. But guys, we have to agree that there is a certain amount of luck involved in racing. All you have to do is go back to Kurt Busch back in 2004 in the first ever Chase Championship. If that tire rolls a little bit to the right instead of the left instead of the right, and then go on the racetrack, that was a bit of luck, and a bit of luck, I believe, that ended up in a really, really good position for one guy. So luck plays into this thing, and it can turn around with one victory. But man, the stats don't lie sometimes, but also luck is a part of this thing.
Well, you talked about Ryan Blaney, and the thing is, here's Ryan Blaney. He's 5th in points. He is the 2nd highest stage point accumulator with 110, but he also has 4 DNFs. But you made the point, Kelly, that, and drivers will always tell you, I'm not worried because we have speed. He has had speed. There's no doubt about that. He just needs to get the finishes together, and he's had a couple of good ones back to
back. Yeah, it's about, again, it's just about the finishes with the 12 team, because if you watch the races, the race teams and the drivers are judging themselves more on their performance and their speed versus the results, right? Because you need to be performing well during the races to know whether or not you're in trouble. The 12 team, clearly they are leading laps, they are getting stage points, sitting 5th overall in points you're having a pretty impressive start to the year. But the result, there are some weekends where you're not capitalizing getting the results. And honestly, if you look at Josh Berry, Blaney's Ford and Alliance teammate, it's the same thing with the 21 car. I mean, after they won Las Vegas, they've kind of dropped off the map a little bit. He did finish finally top 10 this past weekend. But if you look at his results, it's been the same thing.
But he was dominating Texas.
Exactly.
He's been in the lead.
It's the same thing. Yeah. If you look at performance and you look at speed, that's what legitimizes that the work that you're putting in, right? But the results just haven't been there for Barry either. So that's kind of how I'm learning and more judging teams and drivers now when it comes to who you should be concerned about, who you shouldn't be concerned about, because the results and the stat sheet can be a little deceiving in that regard. How is someone performing during the races? And during these races, we see the 12 up there. We see Ryan Blaney contending. He could have won Atlanta. He could have, you know, won Texas, right? He restarted on the front row, I think, 3 times at the end of that race. So, yeah, the results, when you look at the results and you look at that stat card, it's going to tell you one thing. But if you look at the overall performance and speed, I don't have any concerns right now with the 12.
JR, when you look at Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski, in Kyle Busch's case, he's 18th in points. We talked about the fact that, you know, he's got 4 DNFs. But the thing is, he's also the top performer out of RCR. Meanwhile, Keselowski's sitting back there 33rd, He's had bad luck. There's no doubt about that. We saw it last weekend. But at RFK, there have been some bright lights. I mean, Chris Buescher's had some good runs. He's up there in 12th. And I think Ryan Preece has exceeded expectations so far this year. So when you look at those, look at it that way, I mean, is it more bad luck for Keselowski because the organization seems to be a little bit ahead?
Well, you know, I think that one of the surprising things I saw about RFK over the last two seasons was when those two race cars got out on the racetrack together, that they were right next to each other. I don't know how many people noticed that, but if you looked at qualifying, it seemed like Buescher and Keselowski were right next to each other. When it came to the finishing order, you'd see them right next to each other, and they were up there contending for wins for the vast majority of it. But I think that is always such a thing that we've heard drivers say it before and talk about it, and it actually is kind of a bad thing. If the whole organization is running poorly, It's pretty easy to say, okay, we got to go back to the drawing board. But if as an organization, you know, it's like when you put the four Hendrick cars out on the racetrack and one guy is running terrible, it's really hard to argue that it's an organizational problem. Same thing, if one guy's running well in a two-car team and the other guy's not, you know what is coming out of those garages and you know what's coming out of those race shops are going to be pretty equal, and then you decide how you set it up and how you drive it. Again, it's hard to argue that when there are other flashes of brilliance within the organization. But then again, this is very difficult, and boy, over the years, Kelly, I know you have, and Brett, you have as well. We have talked to Richard Childress. We've talked to Mr. Hendrick and Joe Gibbs. When you put three and four cars out there on these racetracks, it is really, really hard to get all of them up front. And when you do get them up front, man, it's something.
Well, each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, who has had the worst luck this year? And your choices are Blaney, Kyle Busch, or Brad Keselowski. Last week, we asked you, do you like the new image of Texas as treacherous? And 55% said yes, 45% said no. They didn't tell us what they wanted it to be instead, but they just said no. But 55% gets a yes. When we come back, we're now 2 weeks into this five-week stretch of just points races of intermediate tracks. And we've talked about this being show-and-tell time and how it's going to set you up for the rest of the season. We'll find out who Kelly and JR think really has some work to do now that we've seen 2 weeks of these intermediate tracks, 3 weeks still ahead. They have uphill climbs. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
It's not about the cars. The speed. The action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
They have worn our nation's cloth under the red, white, and blue and paid the ultimate sacrifice to ensure freedom.
Start your engines!
Once again, it is the Coca-Cola 600 right here in Charlotte.
William Byron, Christopher Bell, neither one wanting to give an inch. They'll dive into turn number two.
We've got a new leader in the Coca-Cola 600.
It's NASCAR's most challenging event, the Coca-Cola 600. Sunday, May 25th at 5 o'clock Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. The NASCAR Xfinity Series heads to Charlotte.
Allgaier down low. It's Gibbs to the high side. They stay door handle to door handle as they race off turn four.
Chandler Smith will climb the hill. He'll go all the way to the outside wall in turn number two. That opens the bottom lane.
Kyle Busch and Justin Allgaier trying to thread the needle through the field in their hurry. Jeff Burton's just trying to get out of the way, but he can't.
It's the BetMGM 300, Saturday, May 24th at 4 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Kelly Crandall from Racer.com ESPN. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. We talked about it going into the break. This is a five-race stretch, not counting the All-Star race, that we're running five straight intermediate tracks, which is really the bread and butter of the schedule. And if you don't have speed, if you don't have the handling you need on intermediate tracks, there are not going to be a lot of opportunities after this to find out if you've been able to fix the problem, if you have a problem. So, JR, now two races into this at Texas and at Kansas, what have we learned? Who has it together and who really needs to do some work here in the next 3 weeks?
Well, if I have to just throw two names out right away, Brett, it's just going to be Kyle Larson for the good side of things and Brad Keselowski for the other side of things. But I think you can also look a little bit at organizational-wise, which organizations are up there right now. And, boy, with a little bit of a flash from Alex Bowman recently, and you just say that he's got to say that Hendrick Motorsports has it going on right now in terms of they're looking like the guys to beat on this particular stretch right now. Again, you kind of recently we've seen a lack of Fords up there up front, especially in Victory Lane. And so I think, you know, when it comes to who's ahead right now, that's the way I'd have to go and who really needs a lot of work to do. You know, just the name Brad Keselowski comes to mind for me because you expect him to do a lot better than he is right now. And again, it's such a long season. The All-Star break, I think, symbolizes something, that there's some time to regroup and rework. But, you know, although it is the longest season in professional sports, a few years back, NASCAR basically cut almost a third of the season out with the playoffs. So you really, the sense of urgency has to be there for everybody right now, because you've got to do something, in order to, you got 26 races now to do something or you're going to get left out.
If you're Team Penske right now, Kelly, do you feel pretty good? I mean, we talked about it. Ryan Blaney's got some speed. Joey Logano he's very David Pearson-like, he's, or Jimmy Johnson-like. You know, he's not around most of the race, then all of a sudden, bam, he's there at the end. Josh Berry, kind of, you know, they're a satellite team, obviously, with the Wood Brothers. They seem to have something on these intermediate tracks. But you look elsewhere for Fords, and I'm just not finding it anywhere else.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, and I was looking over Kansas, the results, and Texas results, and trying to think of, you know, what were the common denominators between both races. And yeah, I mean, Buescher was eighth at Kansas, but I don't, Priest was seventh. I mean, Priest had some moments where he was running very, very well and he was in the picture. I think he was top five. But it ebbs and kind of flows with RFK, I think at the intermediates. So yeah, if you're specifically talking about Fords, I mean, Front Row wasn't really, I don't think, up there. I mean, I think Zane had maybe some flashes of good moments on Sunday, and Todd has some flashes, but that consistency of running top 10, running top five at these intermediates, I don't think we've seen that the last 2 weeks. So yeah, specifically talking about Ford, yeah, I mean, not surprised that Team Penske's leading the way there.
How do you feel if you're Gibbs, JR? I mean, you know, Hamlin seemed to have something last weekend before he had the clutch issues, and as a result, the engine issues, and he had to retire. I mean, Christopher Bell's quietly still there. He's got the three wins. He's third in points. But, you know, I mean, Chase Briscoe was there, and then he wasn't. And then, I mean, how do you feel if you're Gibbs right now?
I don't know if there should be any, and there's really probably not a great amount of concern, because what the teams often tell us, and especially at this time of the season, if you have speed in the race car and you can look at what has transpired. Like, you know, I mean, Denny Hamlin is just is very fast, right? And the clutch goes. And you've seen Christopher Bell qualify very well, and he's up there for the vast majority of the time. And so I think when you have the speed in the race cars and there's some things you have to just put together, I think that's not cliche. I think it's a real thing, because so many, you know, so many teams and drivers and crew chiefs have told us before, hey, I'm worried if we're slow. I'm worried if we're off the pace. I'm worried if things are, you know, if we're botching pit stops left and right. But if you're in a situation where a lot of things are coming together and there's a few hanging out there, I don't see a huge sense of urgency with Gibbs and company.
What do we read into, Kelly, the fact that 2311 for a while owned Kansas, and then Tyler Reddick nor Bubba Wallace are really a factor?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I mean, Tyler Reddick was not a factor, and that surprised me a lot on Sunday. Because I think going into that race, there was a lot of people that if you sat down and said, give me your top five or give me your top three that you certainly think are going to contend, Reddick probably would have been on a lot of people's list. And even Bubba Wallace. Now, I think Bubba ran and performed pretty well in that race. He got caught up in an incident, right, that took him out of it. But for Reddick to not be in the conversation at all really, really surprised me. So I was going to bring that up as well. And even the week before in Texas, it was a little bit of the same thing where they were just on the fringe. They weren't as strong as you expect them to be when it comes to a high-speed intermediate racetrack, because normally that is where Tyler Reddick excels, and even Bubba Wallace to a point. I mean, you go to these racetracks, and if you can just give them speed and say, go put your foot on the floor, those are true drivers that I have all the faith in the world that can do it. And these past 2 weeks, they've just kind of on the fringe. So I was really, really surprised about that. And if I may, on the flip side of that, to bring up Legacy Motor Club, kind of quietly, I mean, yeah, they're not in contention to win races, but give them a little bit of props where I think, you know, John Hunter Nemechek, a top 10 again. Eric Jones got caught up in an incident, but even in Texas, they kind of scratched and clawed and was grinding out the day, and they were up in the top 10. And then on the flip side of that, just to offer kind of who should we be concerned about, Trackhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what my other one was going to be. But Trackhouse is the biggest one, aside from 2311, just because they are so hot and cold, where they kind of scratched and clawed a little bit at Texas, right? Ross Chastain had that really fascinating post-race interview talking about how they're just not comfortable in the race cars. But you go back about a month or so ago, they both finished top five at Vegas. Then you go to Kansas, and they're really not in the picture again. So, Trackhouse, I think 2311 was going to be my other one. So, yeah, 2311 and Trackhouse, I think, would be the two for me. That's like, we have seen so much success on intermediates from both of those organizations, and suddenly they just are, it's lukewarm for them.
When we come back, time for the All-Star Race. Stay with us.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, old Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN, and John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us at the All-Star Race this weekend in North Wilkesboro. The big thing everybody seems to be talking about, Kelly, is this, you know, the caution flag.
Promoter's
that Marcus
caution?
Smith, yeah,
yes.
whenever he wants to throw it. I think he needs to get up in the flag stand, hold up the caution flag towards the crowd and go, now. And if they go, yeah, then he goes, nah, not now. And a few laps later, go, now.
Yeah.
Nah, not now.
This is what you and I were laughing about in the break, and I forgot to put my headphones back on. I can't wait for this, because is he going to be in the flag stand? Or I'm assuming he's going to be in the tower, right, and just, you know, maybe I shouldn't assume. I don't know. Like, does he tell someone? Does he get to push the button himself? Like, how is this going to work? I think this could be made for a made-for-TV moment, right? So
it's Fox's last race of the year.
Exactly.
Why not?
And listen, this is what this race is all about.
Maybe Digger comes back and makes an appearance and Digger pushes it.
Why not? This is what this race and this weekend is supposed to be about, right? I mean, people say it's gimmicky, but listen, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a break from, you know, points racing and all of that. So who knows? I can't wait to see how this is going to unfold. I hope that Marcus is available to the media so we can then, you know, kind of get his take on his idea and when he thought he was going to throw it and how it all played out. The thing that would really suck is if he doesn't get to use it. Because remember, there's the window there that he has to use it by. And if a natural caution comes out, then it takes it away. So I hope that doesn't happen. But I can't wait for this. I Fox needs to put somebody just put a camera on Marcus.
Well, I'm sure they will. John, I heard you laughing. I think you like the idea of bringing Digger back.
I just remember how much NASCAR disliked Digger and the headbutting between NASCAR and Fox on Digger. But the thing about, you know, Kelly mentioned it when you say, oh, well, the promoter's caution is too gimmicky. Guys, this is a gimmicky race, okay? Gimmicky is what it's really all about. When Humpy Wheeler used to spin the wheel and decide how many race cars, by virtue of this spinning wheel, positions would be inverted, that's what it's all about, guys. This is fun. It's supposed to be fun for the fans, but I like the fact that when you look across the landscape of Major League Sports, that this is the one all-star event that really means anything. It means a million things. There's $1 million on the line for this thing. And yeah, it's supposed to be a show for the fans. The fans vote a driver in there. And well, ask Casey Kane how big the fan vote can be. And over the years, you know, we've seen different things change. And if it's too gimmicky, if they don't like it. But let's remember, guys, that I think the way I understand this, Brett, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, folks, but the way this whole thing comes about is it's SMI's call. It's Marcus and company. They make the call as to how they want to run this thing, and then NASCAR approves it. So it's not NASCAR setting out these rules. It's folks that are trying to put on a good show, not being like totally worried about just straight up competition. So I think sit back, enjoy the promoter's caution, and just have fun, guys.
Now? Now? Well, nah, yeah. Not now. Now? When we come back, quite five laps, stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickenshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
J.C.'s Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And time now for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, John Roberts.
Brett, thank you very much. You know, when you set out to make a system where you crown a champion, I think a lot of things have to be taken into consideration. And the playoff system that we have right now in NASCAR, we move the championship race in the future, right? You've done that. But beyond that, the way NASCAR crowns a champion right now, you're rewarded for winning, but at the same time, you're also rewarded for consistency as well. You get the best of both worlds here. And yeah, did Joey Logano win the championship last year? Yes, he did. Did he have some lackluster performances throughout the course of the year? Yes, he did. In NCAA basketball, that's called a Cinderella story, and everybody loves it. It's called an upset in a lot of other sports, and a lot of people love it. So I feel as if we really need to embrace this system right now that NASCAR has in place for crowning a championship. And please, it does not need any type of overhaul, much less a major overhaul.
I like it. Well said. Next up from Racer.com and ESPN, Kelly Crandall.
Well, thank you. Another fantastic show. I didn't really have anything prepared for this, so I'm just going to shamelessly plug my column today that's on Racer.com. We didn't talk about him, but Carson Hocevar, once again, was kind of a thorn in people's sides this weekend, right? Of judging how, whether you found it entertaining or immature, that he gave somebody the middle finger, right? Lane Riggs in the Truck Series race. So I wrote my column. I find it interesting. I just want Carson. Here's my message to Carson. Just stand on your business, bud. Either you want to keep apologizing and race the way that your competition wants you to race, or get out and have a backbone. Stand on your business. If you want to give somebody the finger and say, hey, I still won the race, then stand by it. Don't try to like laugh it off, right? So it just seems like Carson has this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Cares About What People Think kind of personality going on. So I'm not saying he's right or wrong or he has to be the hero or the villain. I just want him to stand on his business. I want him to just be more of Kyle Busch or Joey or Denny. You know where they stand and how they feel about things. And don't kind of backtrack and say what you think people need to hear. So that's my column today. And I think with Carson being 22, it's going to be fascinating to watch his evolution over the years. But that's really what I want to see from him. Stand on your business.
It's funny because we were talking during the break about Kyle Busch just turned 40.
Yes.
And how he's matured over the years, yeah.
But you know where Kyle stands.
Absolutely.
He's not here to please you.
He never worried about the fact that he was not liked. He embraced it with the bow. That was always an embracement. All right, JR, who do you like in the All-Star race this weekend?
Kyle Larson, period. No doubt. Sorry to be
coming, coming in from Indy, he's going to win that race too. Kelly, who are you going for?
I'll go Joey Logano.
Again?
Yeah.
Joey Logano one more time. All right, we'll see how it all plays out. Kelly, JR, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.